Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. As we enter this beautiful Christmas season, we invite you to pause with us, to reflect, to wonder, and to worship. Today's special presentation is titled, Behold the King, Christmas Through the Eyes of Herod's Servant, written by Lindsay Finley with Renee Hodge. This moving story takes us behind the palace doors of ancient Judea, seen through the eyes of one who served a troubled king, yet witnessed the arrival of true majesty. Through his eyes, we glimpse the contrast between earthly power and divine humility, between fear and faith, between a throne made by men and the kingdom of heaven come near. As you listen, let the story draw your heart again to the miracle of the manger, the promised king who came not with soldiers or scepters, but with grace, truth, and eternal light. And now, Canada's National Bible Hour presents Behold the King, Christmas Through the Eyes of Herod's Servant. Behold the King, Christmas Through the Eyes of Herod's Servant, written by Lindsay Finley with Renee Hodge. It has been 400 years since the Israelites heard the voice of our Lord through a living prophet. 400 years of silence and turmoil. Kingdoms have come and kingdoms have gone, leaving a trail of confusion and despair in their wake. We've been passed off from one empire to the next, just as Daniel prophesied, from Babylon to Persia to the Greeks and now to the Romans. We have been persecuted, taxed, and despised by the Romans, and now we are under the forceful grip of a subservient king appointed by Rome. He is Herod the Great, the greatest king since Solomon himself, the king who has modernized Jerusalem since his reign began over 30 years ago. Herod, the king who expanded the temple, brought the Roman aqueduct system to those in need, brought the arts to Jewish people with theaters. Herod, the friend of Caesar himself.
Herod, the king who was appointed by Rome to rule over his own as the king of Judea, the king who will defeat anyone who defies him, the king who is willing to kill his own kin to secure his throne, who killed even my own father, then took my mother as another wife.
And I would do it again. Your father was a simple, worthless fool. Never forget that I saved you from his fate and allowed you and your siblings to become servants in my household, and I took your mother as a wife. That is all. Now get out of my sight. I am ready for bed.
As the king prepared for bed that night, little did he know that just a little ways away, in the small town of Bethlehem, a birth was about to occur that would change his life and the world forever. The nativity manger is brought out with hay bales for Mary and Joseph. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the room. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
In the town of Bethlehem, townspeople begin to enter the marketplace. All are talking. King Herod loves his gold, almost as much as he loves himself. He wants his palace filled with it.
Last night he wanted to wake up with flowers by his bed. He wanted the flowers in a round gold vase, and he demanded I find one. When I couldn't find the exact one he wanted in Jerusalem, he sent me out to find one this morning while he lies in bed eating breakfast. So, here I am in Bethlehem, a small insignificant town south of Jerusalem.
Shepherds are speaking to the townspeople.
"People of Bethlehem, he's here, our Savior, the one who has been promised to us. Come see, and it's a miracle, a true miracle. Come and see."
The townspeople have replied, "Has our Savior truly come? How do you know this?"
"What is this is blasphemy."
"It's not blasphemy, good sir. It's the truth. My brothers and I saw a miracle in front of our very eyes. Angels appeared to us in multitude in the sky. It was blinding."
Townspeople gasp and whisper,
"Angels? Are you mad? Did anyone else see this blinding light of angels? Anyone, I should have you arrested for the lies you speak. How dare you speak of such things? You have a king already, a savior to protect you with the power of the Romans, the king of peace and prosperity, King Herod."
Many townspeople begin to say, "Oh, all hail King Herod, all hail King Herod." Herod is on his throne. Various wives are gathered nearby. Joram enters, out of breath, having run all the way from Bethlehem.
"Your Majesty, I must speak with you. It is of an urgent nature."
"Where have you been? I could have you flogged for disappearing. So sorry, Your Majesty. Please forgive me. I couldn't find a gold vase of the quality you seek in the marketplace, so I traveled to Bethlehem. I ran back as fast as I could."
"Your Majesty, another servant and I were in the village earlier, and we saw the most peculiar thing. We were there looking for the gold vase, I mean plate, you wanted from the marketplace. The other servant and I couldn't agree on which one you would prefer. Honestly, the selection was not good, and the merchant was going on and on about how his gold was the best in the city. So, while we were there, these shepherds appeared out of nowhere and began yelling the most outrageous statements. They started talking about this baby that was born. What if these shepherds are telling the truth about another king? What child is this?"
The temple, Anna is praying, Mary and Joseph enter. Mary is holding the infant Jesus. Joseph is holding a cloth-covered cage containing turtle doves. Anna's eyes immediately open, as if she has been made aware of an important moment. She turns and moves toward the young couple.
"Good morning. I am Joseph, and this is my wife, Mary. We come to present our son Jesus to his heavenly Father here at the temple. We don't have much, but we have brought two turtle doves to sacrifice, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering."
"Oh, welcome. The Lord graciously accepts. Do not be ashamed of two turtle doves. Please sit Have you traveled far?
We come from Bethlehem, but are from Nazareth.
We came to Bethlehem for the census since we both come from the lineage of David. Then my wife Mary had the baby, so of course we needed to stay a little longer. My cousin Ezra knew I was a carpenter and offered me a job. I've also found a small house for us.
Our family has been so gracious to us. Truly, the Lord has provided everything we have needed.
Did you say your name was Mary? From Nazareth?
Yes, I did.
Are you a cousin of Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah the priest?
Yes, do you know her? Have you met here at the temple?
Yes, I see many families here at the temple, but I've never seen a woman of her age with a baby. It was quite a shock to see.
The Lord blessed her with a precious boy, John, a true miracle.
Simeon enters the room and is overjoyed.
Oh, praise be to God. He has come. May I hold him? Please?
Mary and Joseph look at one another, and Joseph nods to Mary. Mary hands the baby to Simeon. Simeon holds him gently.
I have been waiting for this day. I knew it had to be coming soon. The Lord our God revealed to me that I would see him in my lifetime. As you can see, I am old in years, and I feel myself getting weaker by the day. The Lord is faithful. Truly, he is faithful. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.
Joram enters the temple as Mary and Joseph are leaving. He hears some of Simeon's praise to God. He asks him what is going on.
Yes. Glory be to God.
Sacrifices work. Why do we need to be saved when sacrifices are required and made?
But the sacrifices are not good enough to fully cover God's infinite wrath on our sin. That is why we have to keep performing the sacrifices. They are a temporary covering. The world was not originally designed for death and sacrifice, but we sinned. Both the prophets Micah and Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah. Micah prophesied, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days," Micah 5 verse 2. This baby was born in Bethlehem, even though his mother is a Nazarene. Isaiah said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God is with us."
It's been about a year since that day in the temple. Joram can't forget what he saw and heard.
It's haunted me since that day. The old woman and how she acted with that poor young family, it was just so bizarre. And that man, Simeon, I think it was, how he appeared at the temple and said that the God of Jacob told him to come. And the words he said to that baby. I just don't get it, it's odd. Though the last time we went to the temple, we were told they had both died. No matter, even so, I should have reported their strange behavior straight to the king.
I am not pleased, I just received a letter from Rome with more demands for taxes. The people will not like it. Find it for me.
A servant comes running in, panting. Herod hears of the soon arrival of important visitors and makes haste to meet them. Soldiers enter the palace with the fearful news.
Your Majesty, we have news from the outer city gates. Visitors are soon to arrive. They are here to see you, your greatness.
Why should I care?
They say that they have traveled from the east, from Persia. They appear to be very wealthy, your Majesty.
Wealthy? How do you know this?
It's an entire caravan, your Majesty. They are magi with camels, carriages, gold.
Gold? How much gold?
Much, my king.
From Persia, you say?
Yes, your Majesty.
Well, let's welcome the men with open arms. In fact, let's have a feast. Joram, fetch my wife.
Herod actually has 10 wives. Or should I say, had 10 wives. The wife he loved the most was Marianne the Hasmonean. He executed her, along with two of their sons. To this day, no one is allowed to mention their names.
Yes, Your Majesty. Right away.
Bring me my finest robes. I will impress.
Yes, Your Majesty.
The servants are dressing Herod in his finest robes and jewelry. Herod then takes a seat on his throne and waits. If there's anything Herod loves more than money, it's his ego. The hall is prepared for guests as servants appear and bring out chairs and tables and Herod's many wives, robed in very fine clothing.
Your Majesty, our guests have arrived and wish to speak with you about an important matter.
Thank you for seeing us and allowing us to speak with you.
That has yet to be seen. Yet I am told you have traveled very far. I am now to know what is this matter.
Your Majesty, where is he who has been born King of Jacob, who is Israel? We saw his star in the sky, and have traveled very far to worship him. We have traveled many months to see the King of the Jews.
Gentlemen, I have been the King of the Jews for over 30 years. There is obviously some confusion here. Where and how did you receive this information? Maybe you are just in the wrong place.
It began with a star that appeared in the night sky. We were told in the scripture from long ago that this star would announce the birth of a new king. Once we discovered the star, we followed it, and it led us to your land. The scrolls were very clear, Your Majesty.
I am king appointed by Caesar himself. Perhaps my chief priests can offer some assistance in this matter. Joram, please send for them immediately.
Meanwhile, Joram is off immediately. Herod tries desperately to impress the foreign travelers and tries to get more information on the whereabouts of this new king. Herod appears troubled. You see, Herod does not like to be overlooked. When he feels threatened, blood is shed.
Herod is troubled. We must all watch our backs, including the Magi.
The chief priest and scribe enter carrying the scrolls.
Your Majesty, this bold is mentioned in our scroll.
Do they mention precisely where this child is to be born?
In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, that shall rule my people Israel. Matthew 2 verses 5 and 6.
Who wrote this?
The holy man Micah, Your Majesty. There are others also.
That will do.
Herod could control himself no more and cleared the room, except for the Magi, as he wanted very badly to gain their trust, lest he ruin his plans to find the child.
This news surprises me. If this king of Jacob has been born, I too must go in search of him, so that I may also worship him. Now, tell me when this star, this sign, appeared to you.
Your Majesty, the star appeared over a year ago. It has taken us this long to prepare suitable gifts and travel the long journey here.
More than a year? Why haven't I been informed of this phenomenon? I must inquire of my astronomers. You must continue your journey. Go and look diligently for the child, and send word to me when you have found him, so I may also come to worship him.
Thank you, Your Majesty. We all sense that there is a true purpose to this journey and truth in whom we seek.
Herod is pacing the floor with a worried expression on his face. Joram enters and moves toward Herod. The Magi have just continued on their journey to the Christ child.
Your Majesty, I beg you to stop pacing and eat something. This worrying can't be good for you.
I don't take orders from anyone, especially you. I do not need to be calm. I am perfectly at peace. It is just a matter of patience as my plan unfolds.
The guard is already looking, Your Majesty, and we can contact Rome to use their intelligence agency, if necessary.
Why haven't they been found? Bethlehem is only 8 miles away.
Maybe they are having trouble finding the child. Surely.
There hasn't been a prophecy in over 400 years.
Soldiers enter the palace with news of the travelers from the east. They are bid to come into King Herod's presence.
What have you to say? Say it now.
We have searched Bethlehem thoroughly and found no sign of the caravan from the east. various sources said that they were seen in the market, yet we saw none of them. No one can tell us which way they went, nor do we know who they saw while in Bethlehem. We have men out searching even now. There is nothing to report on the main roads to Persia.
How could they just disappear?
The soldiers motion one to another and several leave, while others wait at the door for what comes next.
If I can't rely on my soldiers to find them, I guess I will have to take more drastic measures. I need some parchment Joram.
Herod the king has written something which causes Joram to be physically ill.
Your Majesty, surely you don't mean this. Please, I beg you, reconsider, please. Your Majesty.
As I said, there is no other king over these lands but me, and there never will be one except through me.
But, sire, these are only children.
Herod reaches for the scroll and takes it from Joram's hands. Joram dramatically places himself between the king and his soldiers in vain, and Herod has Joram taken away. Herod laughs wickedly.
I'm doing this for the good of the people. Consider it done. Enjoy your stay downstairs, Joram.
In the days that followed Joram's imprisonment, a vicious attack was ordered on the small town of Bethlehem. Herod, in his fury, had written an order that all male children, ages 2 and under, were to be put to death. He used the information that the Magi gave to destroy lives. Herod was confident that all rumors of a child king were put to rest, and for a long time, he was right. Several years later, Herod got sick, and he faced a horrible death. Over 30 years had passed since Joram was placed in his jail cell.
30 long years. I hear things through these walls.
Joram, are you ready for some company?
Who do we have this time?
This one is interesting, and possibly insane. He spoke out against His Majesty's marriage to Herodias, the king's brother's wife. The king will not have anyone rebuking him. He's also been one of the Jews circulating the rumors of the Messiah. This is interesting. He's a Jew. They call him John. He is known for baptizing people. He's a nut, if you ask me.
Interesting indeed. A baptizer. How strange.
The guards enter with John the Baptist. They throw him in and leave.
Welcome to Herod's palace.
Well, thanks. How long have you been in?
Oh, I have been forgotten in here for about 30 years now, since the massacre in Bethlehem.
Ah, I was a child at that time. My cousin was of the age but escaped to Egypt with his family before the edict was carried out.
For years, my thoughts have constantly returned to this baby, this child, this man. He has haunted me.
You say that he is haunting you, but could it be that God is drawing you to Christ over and over again that you may believe?
Believe what?
That he is the true Son of God. He is here. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He is fully man, but he is fully God. I, John the Baptist, have seen him do miraculous things with my own eyes. I baptized him at the beginning of his ministry, and the most amazing thing happened. There was a loud voice from heaven.
From heaven?
Yes, my friend. There was a loud voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased."
These words are found in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 3.
I will never forget that day when the Holy Spirit descended upon him from heaven and we heard the voice of God. Many Jews believe he is here to free them from the Romans, but it's so much more than that. Jesus is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, the prophet Isaiah said that Jesus would also be cut off from the land of the living, and the Lord would crush him for our iniquity. The Lord will put his wrath on Christ for our sins.
Joram saw that light even in the darkened dungeon. He knew that the stranger who spoke with him was telling the truth, and he was filled with hope knowing that the true Son of God hadn't been haunting him. He had been drawing him unto himself for the day when he would reveal himself to Joram. Years later, Joram heard that Jesus was crucified. He did exactly what Scripture said. Jesus faced the punishment for all our sin. He was found blameless. The guards couldn't stop talking about Jesus' body vanishing from the tomb, but Joram knew God raised him from the dead, just as the Scriptures foretold.
As we draw this special Christmas presentation to a close, we thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. Today, we have witnessed the miracle of Christmas anew, through the eyes of one who saw both the darkness of a troubled palace and the radiant hope of a newborn king. This season, may the story of Jesus' birth remind us all, no throne of earth, no power of man, can overshadow the purposes that God intends in our world. Let us carry the wonder of that holy night with hearts open to God's will as we serve the King of Glory. From all of us at Canada's National Bible Hour, Merry Christmas. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His peace be with you now and in the coming year.